It doesn't take a crude yet hilarious Farrelly Brothers movie to know that there is something about Mary. Whether it's a vision of the Blessed Virgin in a piece of burnt toast, or in a water stain on a wall in Samoa, or in the MRI of a South Florida woman's brain, to say nothing of the more traditional holy places, as long as Christians have been wondering about who this Christ is, we have been wondering about his mother Mary. Especially since the church codified its belief that Jesus the Christ was both human and divine, and yet born of a young woman, as the images before us this morning can attest, we have been attempting to answer this question. Just who is this Mary whom we call the Mother of God? Now, I realize that there is far more practice dogma about Mary than I could possibly even allude to in this sermon. From the scores of sites of pilgrimage across the world, from Guadalupe to Fatima, from Walsingham to Lourdes, the devotion and reverence for this woman who was possibly most intimate with Christ. The devotion and reverence is stunning and is found across many Christian traditions. So, if you enter this space this morning at home with the icon of Mary and child, if the words of the Magnificat are second nature to you, you are not alone. At the same time, if this morning you have some discomfort at the images before us, or with the hymns that begin, "Hail, Holy Queen," fear not, for you too have company. For as you might expect, our own Anglican belief in Mary is characteristically diverse. Now, this diversity stems from our very inception, from our foundation as the church that holds itself at once to be both Catholic and Protestant. A couple of kings of England, after all, had what is known as lady chapels constructed in Westminster Abbey. And on the other hand, the Protestant reformers of the Church of England fought bloody battles to check what they saw to be heretical belief. It is likely that for these reasons, the Episcopal Church has carefully chosen the name for this feast. It is not the Dormition of the Theotokos, as Orthodox around the world celebrate this morning, nor the Assumption of Our Lady, as Roman Catholicism this day recognizes. Today at All Souls Episcopal Parish, we officially celebrate the Feast of St. Mary the Virgin, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Descriptive yet broad. Factual and devoid of any mention of what our fellow Catholic and Apostolic friends declare in the titles of their feasts. So what are we to make of this day? Why do we feast? Well, as many Anglicans before me have done in this sermon, I will attempt to sidestep questions. Questions about the manner of Mary's conception by her parents. Questions about her possible perpetual virginity. Google that when you get home. Or questions about the after effects of her death. Instead, I will hope to examine, to magnify, as it were, the texts of Scripture that we are offered today. Because in the poetry and the praise, I believe, lies an awe-inspiring witness to the simple yet radical life of God. Our texts from Isaiah and Galatians speak to the church's understanding of Christ. From the echoes of Isaiah's servant songs to the letter to the Galatians that proclaims our eternal inheritance with God. But it is our gospel this morning, that gives a fuller expression of what we as Anglicans believe about Mary. This good news that we have this morning is one of the most prayed and sung of our sacred word. The context is a visit from the teenage Mary to her relative Elizabeth. They are both pregnant, and upon greeting her cousin, Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." So it is to this greeting that Mary answers with her own song, one that images another song of a young woman, that of Hannah, mother of the prophet Samuel. Because of its beauty and its meaning, Mary's song is one that throughout millennia has been paired with meter and melody, and for centuries it has been known as the Magnificat, because of the first line of this hymn in Latin, "Magnificat anima mea Dominum, my soul magnifies the Lord." And unlike other translations, our newly revised standard version that we just heard continues to use the word magnify as if to echo the Latin. Now, the meaning of the word magnify in this instance is to declare the greatness of something or to extol, to glorify. And this is exactly what Mary does as she begins this song. Her soul, or in our contemporary understanding, her very self, is declaring the greatness of God and of God's actions in her life. But there is another use that the English language offers, unlike that of, say, Latin. And that is for the word magnify to mean to make something large in order to see it clearly. It is this variant that I'd like to spend some time with this morning, because I believe that in Mary's words and in her actions, we have a witness to what a life led by the will of God can be. It is in her simple declaration heard earlier in this chapter of Luke's gospel when she says, "Let it be with me." It is in her faithful journey to share this good news with her trusted relative Elizabeth. It is in her words we heard today about the Mighty One and His actions. It is in her life as a mother, a nurturer, a caregiver, a magnifier for Christ Himself. Mary's song, like her life, is meant to magnify. And so this morning, a question for us to reflect upon is this: just what is Mary magnifying? What is she not only glorifying, but also making clear so that we may see? Simply put, in this text, through her word and deed, I believe that Mary serves as a lens for us to see where God is to be found at work in this world. This is why we as Anglicans revere her, why we contemplate her image, why we celebrate her this morning, for she shows us what it is to bear God in this world. This is where the Orthodox title of the Theotokos, or God-bearer, carries such great meaning. For Mary physically bore Jesus the Christ in the way that babies are born into this world every day. And Mary, as she cared for Jesus throughout his life, including those final days at the cross, bore him through his death. And it is in this song that precedes Christ's birth that she magnifies for us what God's will is for the created. What I find so remarkable, and in its truest sense radical, about this passage is the ways and places in which Mary magnifies God's work in this world. To be sure, God's might and strength are extolled in the beginning of the song, but for what? To rule kingdoms? To win wars? To procure year-end bonuses that dwarf an annual average salary? Those are not the great things that the Mighty One does. And this is a reason why we celebrate this day, because in her very life, Mary, like all the saints, shows us the way so simply, so clearly, that we too glimpse the path to follow. She serves as a lens for us for who God and Christ are. We may not physically bear the Savior of the world, but like Mary, we can bear the presence of God with us as we live our lives. Friends, as we go about our days this week, let's take this lens with us. Let's see what this magnifies around us. Tomorrow, as we encounter our common life, see what this lens magnifies, for instance, in our state budget. In our votes, in our letters, in our witness, how will we witness to the mercy of the Lord there? On Wednesday, as we ingest the television news, let's ask ourselves, what kind of power does this extol? What sort of strength does this show? This Thursday, as we use this lens, let's read the response to Judge Vaughn Walker's recent ruling. In this ruling, as in all things, let's ask ourselves, who are the lowly? How can we help them be lifted up? How will we bear God's presence in this? Friends, this day we, like Mary, are called to declare the greatness of God's work in this world. This day we are called to remember, to celebrate that Mary, blessed by all generations, rejoiced in God her Savior. This day we are called to remember, to celebrate that Mary, the bearer of the Son of God, has borne the joy and the pain of this world in order to make known to all what the will of God truly is. This day we are called to remember, to celebrate that Mary, Mother of God, has magnified the Lord so greatly, so clearly, that we too may bear the presence of God to all in this world.